As a teacher, I am a huge believer that toys can transform education, because I think so many toys out there can actually be tools. Toys can be the types of tools that make our students more engaged. Toys can be the type of tools that motivate our kids. Toys can be the type of tools that literally transform your next 180 days. I realize at this point in the school year, we are dragging, and maybe you feel like you have just lost your creative juices. Maybe you feel like you are just running out of steam and running out of ideas. And what I want to do in this episode is share a toy that I use as a tool in my classroom. And the cool thing about this toy is you don't even need to own it. You don't even need to purchase it in order to be able to engage in this lesson. It is super fun, and it is also super significant. In fact, it is connected to what I call a throwback. I happen to do this lesson with my students on a Thursday, so I called the activity a Throwback Thursday, but you could seriously do this on any day of the week in any subject area and with any grade level. I also think that you are going to love this toy, because I'm going to guess that you had a personal connection with this toy at some point in your life. So if you love the idea of using toys as tools in your classroom, stick around. If you are intrigued because you have no idea what to expect, then keep listening, because I promise that this idea can totally be used in your classroom within the next couple of days. So let's get into it. There is awesome in every single school day. So here is the big question. How can teachers like us, who love our job, love our students, and love being a part of education, celebrate awesome even more in our classrooms and learning communities? Where can we find teaching tips and tricks? Where can we find engaging stories and motivational strategies? That is the question, and this weekly podcast is your answer. So welcome to all my teacher friends. My name is Monica Genta, and I am so excited that you are here listening to this podcast, This Teacher Life. When I was in my 20s, my parents dropped a huge bomb on me. They announced to me and my siblings that they were selling our childhood home. I understand that that is part of living. I understand that that is part of growing up. But when my parents announced that they were going to move, that they were going to sell the home that we lived in throughout our entire childhood, I bawled my eyes out. I totally understood it, and I totally respected it. And honestly, it was a good choice for them. But I knew that that meant that all of the memories that had unfolded in that house, we were no longer going to have a daily or weekly personal connection to it, because we were no longer going to own the home. And that meant that they were going to have to clean out the entire house and get things ready to sell it. And cleaning out the entire house meant that they were going to clean out the toy room in the basement. And I don't care what age you are, and I don't care when you were born, the toy room or your toy area as a kid is absolutely one of those places that puts a smile on your face. Our basement was our favorite place as a kid, because we could go down there and we didn't really have to keep it organized. You could just constantly be engaged in play. And I'll never forget my sister and I playing Bozo's Grand Prize game down there. We played the Sega Genesis down there. We played hide and go seek in the dark down there. So many things. So when my mom called us and said, "It's time. We are cleaning out the toy room to move. Come on over if you want any of these toys," I knew what I wanted. My brother wanted some of his Ghostbusters. My sister was considering keeping her little tyke's vanity, and I wanted the original Magic 8 Ball, and I also wanted the potato head. Now, I know some of you know about a Magic 8 Ball. I talk a ton about that in so many of my books and in so many of my lessons that I show on social media, but I've never talked about the potato head. Maybe you owned a potato head as a kid, because it was just this really simple but really sweet concept. It was a potato that had all of these holes, and you could stick different eyeballs and accessories into it, and you stored all of these accessories in the behind of the potato. There was like a little, like, you know, a little lever on his butt, basically, and you opened that up, and on the inside, you could store all of the potato's accessories. And I don't know why I liked it so much, but it was just so silly. And I had so much fun playing with this potato head. And so when my mom was like cleaning this out, she kept a bunch of the toys for grandkids. But there was just a pile of toys. And she's like, do you guys care about any of this? And I'm like, yeah, what, that potato head? So I am sure that you have a special spot for something in your childhood toy repertoire. I don't know if you have a special spot for a spud, but I did. And I think any time that we have a positive, personal, emotional connection to something, I think we can leverage that for learning. Now, it would be awesome if I had like 14 potato heads that I could bring into my classroom and do with my advisory students, or it would be really cool if I had just a bunch of potato heads that I could do for a science experiment, but I simply don't. And quite frankly, I looked them up. Potato heads, like, aren't super cheap. It's not something that you can go to the Dollar General or the $1.25 tree and just go buy potato heads. I could go and buy real potatoes, and we could do projects with real potatoes. But I think sometimes simple is really, really significant. I think simple can still be really special. So instead of having kids play with potato heads, recently, for my advisory class, and it happened to be on a Thursday, I did a throwback Thursday, and we talked about potato heads, because kids these days are familiar with it, but I don't think that they have the same emotional connection. Like, a kid said, oh, I've got a Buzz Lightyear potato head, and I'm like, no, not a Buzz Lightyear potato head. And another kid was like, I have a Minnie Mouse potato head. I'm like, no. Guys, it's just a potato. And they're like, no, I have like action figure potato heads. And so what we did was we had this conversation about any connection to a potato head. We also rated the potato head as a toy on a scale of 1 to 10. Because I think I would rate it like a 9 out of 10. So I asked my students and they gave it very low ratings. They're like, potato head's like a 2 out of 10. One kid's like, it's off the scale. It's the dumbest thing ever. So kids had opinions about it. We had a conversation about it. And then I dove into the activity. And I want to emphasize this one more time. In my classroom for this activity, I had no actual potatoes and I had no actual potato heads. For this activity, what I did was I handed every single kid just a piece of paper. I said, get out a piece of paper, get out something to write with. And on that blank sheet of paper, I gave them one direction. I said, on that paper, I want you to create a large circle. A large circle that you say represents you. And they're like, what do you mean that represents me? I'm like, it's open-ended, okay? This is very open-ended. I want you on that sheet of paper to just draw a circle. It can be perfect, it can be irregular, it can be your definition of a circle, but just draw a medium-sized circle. So they did that. And then I said, now, draw two things coming out of that circle that could represent arms. Now, at this point, some kids started to see what was happening because we had had this conversation about potato heads. And then they've got this like circle with like two quote arms coming out of it. But I let them roll with that. And then I said, okay, on the bottom of your circle. And you got to be careful not to say at the bottom of your potato, because you know what's about to happen. We're gonna draw some potatoes. But on the bottom of your circle, I want you to write two things. Draw two things that could be legs. So what they have done now is they've created this foundation of a potato. They're going to create their own potato head. Now, I've done this lesson in a couple of different ways. I've done the drawing of the circle first, and I've done the drawing of the circle second. So having the discussion about the potato head and then drawing the circle, I've also had them draw first and then discuss. So you can kind of decide what order you want to go in. But at this point, the kids had a, quote, large-sized circle, whatever their interpretation of circle is. And then kids got to design their own potato head. But it wasn't like a Michael Jordan potato head. It wasn't like a Mickey Mouse potato head or a PJ Masks potato head. I said, what you're going to do is you're going to create a potato head that represents you. You can draw eyes on it. You can draw a nose on it. You can draw a mouth on it. But then I want you to put five specific, special things that you feel like represent you. They can be clothing items. They can be accessories. They can be objects. But you get to pick five things that you're like, if somebody saw this, they'd be like, oh man, I know that's Miss G's potato head. Oh man, I know for sure that's Amelia's potato head. I know for sure that's Jet's potato head. But you get to draw it. And then I just gave them like 5 to 10 minutes to do their thing. And while they were doing their thing, you better believe that I was also drawing my own personal positive potato head. And I left it really open-ended. I just said like five things. And I did that on purpose because I often think if we give them very specific directions, then they'll just all basically create the same thing. If we start giving lots of different examples, they'll hear those examples and they'll think, well, that's what I'm supposed to do, so I'll just do that. So I left it very open-ended. And I sat and I created my drawing of a potato head and they created theirs. I also did emphasize in advance that this is not about artistic ability because I said, once you've drawn those five things, also label it. Maybe that's the science teacher coming out in me that I think like all models and all data and all graphs should be labeled. But this was not happening in a science class. This was happening in my advisory class. You might have an advisory, a morning meeting, an SEL, a win time. This could literally be used in any of those times, or you could do it in your English class or your science class. You could connect this activity to nearly anything. But I gave them time. And then, once they were done, we presented the potato heads. Each person came up to the front of the room because I think speaking and listening skills are really important. I think presentation skills are really important because we understand that kids don't always volunteer to go. Kids don't always say like, yeah, I want to share. Yeah, I'll present. Yeah, I'll come up to the front of the room. But I think that we have to just normalize that. And can I be honest with you? I have 12 seventh graders in my current seventh grade advisory class. And when I said, who wants to go first, I at first only had like 3 hands go up. And then I'm like, as a reminder, everyone is going to do this. And I was like, who would like to go first? And then like 10 hands went up. So I think like if you can get kids excited and just normalize, we all participate, we all engage. This is a classroom family. We are an advisory family. You guys are Miss Genta's seventh grade advisory family this semester. I think that just really helps to create a climate and culture where everybody is supportive. So kids came up to the front of the room and they showed the potato head and then they just did like literally 30 seconds to 1 minute describing what was on them. So let me give you an example of one. There was a potato head that had tennis shoes and it said sweet tennis shoes and they had the Nike symbol on them. And then somebody also had a smile, but like the teeth were really out. It was like this great big smile because the person said, because I'm happy. And then there was this like boombox looking thing with music notes coming on it because they like really loud music. And then the person had a slice of pizza and it said, Casey's Pizza because delish. And if you live in rural America, if you live in the Midwest, you know that that person's right. Casey's Pizza because delish. So good. And then this person also had a backwards snapback hat on the potato head. And it just said, for swag. You know whose that was? That was actually mine. Okay, I just described my own potato head to you. Like, that was the one that I created. Maybe some of you saw that coming. But I'm wondering, if you were going to do this own activity, like, I know that we are adults, we are professionals, we are educators, but, like, if you were going to do this activity, what would you put on it? You wouldn't have to put something with teaching, but would you? Right? Like, it's open-ended. You can do whatever you want. And I just picked five things that I thought represented my personality. But we had some kids do some really sweet things like cowboy boots or a cowboy hat. We had one student, it was really interesting that they put a scar from their leg. Like, I said five things that represent you. And a lot of kids put like a scar on my leg or stitches that I had from some sort of injury. And they wanted to talk about that because they felt like, yeah, that's part of who I am. Some kids put things like volleyballs or baseball bats or things like that to represent sports. Some kids put some things that are very trendy, like Stanley cups and Sephora cosmetics bags. Some kids put physical things like their glasses because they said, I've literally had glasses my whole life. Without glasses, I don't think I'd look like me. Some kids put freckles because they said, my skin is really, really light and I've got freckles. And I ask it, how do you feel about that? And they're like, oh, it's fine. It makes me me. Some kids put jerseys on representing their favorite teams. Some kids actually attached their pets to their potato head. They said, and this is my cat with me. And I'm like, that's really creative. I never said that you couldn't do pets. So isn't it neat how things got interpreted when we kept it open-ended and just said, you're going to put five things on you as you. Things that represent you, things that make you you. We had sporting equipment, we had trendy things, we had, you know, personal birthmarks, things that they like, including like, you know, an Xbox controller. Some kids put their specific outfits that they like Lululemon leggings. Some kids put party hats. Some kids put instruments like guitars and drumsticks. This cost zero money to do. This activity was so much fun. And for the record, I know oftentimes you're like, how long did this take? I did this in one full class period. So this was about a 50-minute activity from conversation to draw your potato heads to present your potato heads. This took about 50 minutes. And I know sometimes people get very frustrated about the lack of time that they have for advisory or SEL or morning meeting time. And so if I didn't have a dedicated class that all of my students attend on a daily basis, all my seventh graders, all my eighth graders have a daily SEL class built into our schedule. Okay. I get the beautiful privilege to teach that as a subject. Because I do think SEL time should be a subject. We have got to get to a place in our world where SEL time, advisory time, also known as life skills time, is on the same foundation as math time, English time, science time, art time. Because I don't know about you, but I think our kids deserve to be life, college, and career ready for any experience and any opportunity that comes their way so that they can crush it and thrive in life. I know I get really passionate about that because I just think that so many schools are struggling with that. They're like, when would we do this life skill stuff? When would we even implement this lesson? And I hear you. It's actually the number one thing that I work with schools on when I come into schools and do school-based consulting is literally helping them figure out what their morning meeting, advisory, and SEL time looks like. It is my jam. It is my most favorite thing. I'm so passionate about it. So if you're sitting here being like, must be nice, we don't have that time built in. How would I chunk this activity? How would I basically roll this out if I didn't have a dedicated SEL time? What I would do is day one, for 10 minutes, I'd have the conversation about potato heads. Day two, I'd introduce, we're going to draw them. Day three, I would present them. I just happen to do it all in one day because I have 180 days of SEL built into my teaching schedule. But if you didn't, you could chunk it over 3 or 4 days to maximize the minutes that you do have. I was just working with this school recently, consulting in their building with them on SEL time. And the principal said the number one complaint is that we have 14 minutes. So teachers don't do anything. Because we have a 14-minute advisory time. We have a 14-minute like morning meeting block. And our teachers make it a free-for-all time because they say, you can't do anything in 14 minutes. And I'm like, I feel like you can do so much in 14 minutes. So much. It might mean that you're constantly kind of carrying over the same concept or kind of just chunking lessons differently. But 14 minutes is a beautiful blessing. Let's maximize that time. And then I worked with that school to help chunk and figure out what that looks like. But I'm giving you an example of exactly what I would do for this positive potato project. Now, the students were super excited. They're like, we get to keep these, right? And I'm like, totally. And they're like, I'm going to put mine on my fridge. One kid was like, it's my mom's birthday today. I'm going to give this to my mom as a birthday present. And I'm like, okay, I'm down for that. If I was your mom, I'd be pumped to get that. They're like, I think she'll like it. I think she'll put it in her office at work. Like, they were so proud of this. Isn't that awesome? This is so simple. And they were so proud of it. And I'll be real with you. I have done this not just with middle school kids. I've done this with high school kids. Did they respond with the same kind of energy? No, but do I think that they responded really well to it and actually got pretty into it and had some amazing reflections? Yes. Do I think this would work really well for elementary? That's a hell yes. Okay, absolutely. Friends, what I'm trying to prove here is that toys can be tools. And sometimes you don't even need to own the tool to prove how transformative it can be in your classroom. So let me ask you a reflection question right now. What toys are you currently using as tools to help create a space where kids are learning and growing and thriving, not just in your curriculum area, not just in your content, but in the real world? Are we equipping kids with the life, college, and career readiness that they need to be a child, a whole child that is going to be successful with communication, with empathy, with compassion, with reflection, with debate? All of those life skills can truly happen when we create the proper structure. And if you are feeling right now that you don't have the proper structure because of scheduling, because you're using a shitty curriculum that nobody at your school wants, that you're using some sort of resource that your kids are like, this is terrible, I hate this, I hear you. Those are the big roadblocks. We don't have time for activities like this, or we don't even have the creativity or the resources to come up with lessons like this. Like, Monica, this was great. This was one activity. What are we supposed to do for the 179 other days of the school year? Because you, I think, are probably hearing and seeing and envisioning what this could look like. And you're probably thinking, this is great. I want more of this. And I hear you, which is exactly why I want to tell you about the 180 days of awesome SEL curriculum. What is that? It is lessons exactly like the ones I just told you about. This potato head project literally was a project that I created and included in a curriculum that I have written called 180 Days of Awesome SEL, which is 180 fully planned lessons, conversations, activities, projects, things that you can use in your classroom with your students that take no prep, no extra time. They are ready to go so you can do what you do best, which is teach and reach kids. What I have done is saying, hey, I've got these 180 days of lessons. I know they work because I've done them with my students. There is proof of concept here. Take a look at these and go have a freaking blast with your kids to help equip them with the social and emotional awareness and tools that they need to crush it as kids. So if you are like, we don't have time. Yeah, you do. You can chunk it. We don't have the resources. Yeah, you do. Because you can get 180 days of awesome SEL. Monica, I don't have the creativity. That's okay. Use the creativity that I have. I definitely am lacking in skills in a number of areas in education. I can admit that. I don't think I've taken attendance once this entire week, actually. But nonetheless, what I'm saying is, if you want to have positive potato lessons, but not just potato lessons, if you want to have 180 days of awesome SEL, you can go to monicagenta.com/180SEL. I'm going to put a direct link for that in the show notes. You can also Google 180 days of awesome SEL. You can go to monicagenta.com/180SEL. There's a direct link for that in the show notes as well. And I would love for you to check this out and preview all of these lessons. Friends, thanks for doing this Throwback Thursday with me. I hope it was a throwback in your head too. Maybe you, started reflecting on memories that you have of a potato head in your own life. I want you to use tools to help transform your classroom. I want you to use toys in the form of tools to transform your classroom. And I hope this is just one more that you can put in your teacher tool belt. I want to thank you so much for listening to this episode. Don't forget to check out 180 Days of Awesome SEL. If there's anything I can do to support you, please do not hesitate to reach out, shoot me a message, shoot me an email. Until the next episode, thank you for listening. But more importantly, thank you for living this teacher life.